Congress and President Bush are preparing to try to govern without the extra money they've been used to. The federal budget surplus is shrinking. Democrats blame the president's tax cut. The president blames a slowing economy. And he said this week he doesn't mind if Congress has to restrain spending. Lawmakers face a battle, though, over who's funding to restrain over the next few years. And the candidates may include the poor. 5 years after approving welfare reform, Congress is getting ready to debate the issue again. In the last of our series on welfare reform, NPR's Emily Harris looks at its future.
In 1996, Congress set aside $16.5 billion a year for welfare reform, but the states haven't spent it all. More than $8 billion is sitting in a bank account in Washington. Some states say they're saving for a rainy day, but several times in recent years, lawmakers looking to balance tight budgets have proposed raiding the reserves. Republican Congressman Jim McCreary says reducing the federal contribution for welfare is something Congress should consider.
In 96, we based the block grant funding to the states on what we now know was maybe the historic high level of welfare participation, or participation in welfare, cash welfare programs. Now that the rolls have been cut in half, or by more than half, I think it's a legitimate question as to whether we should continue the block grant funding to the states on the same level that was contained in the 96 bill.
State governors, Democratic and Republican alike, will fight any cuts. Michigan's John Engler, head of the National Governors Association, says he's proud of the fact the rolls have fallen, but he warns child care and other supports for those who've left cash assistance are expensive, and it will probably cost extra to get those still on welfare off.
One of the things that we recognize is that those remaining cases are harder, the problems are more numerous, and that sometimes the resource investment and the time is even greater.
The real funding debate won't begin until early next year when President Bush tells Congress what he wants to do. But money isn't the only issue.
Standard rhetoric says that welfare reform is working. It says that caseloads are down. That is the measure of success for welfare reform.
To mark the law's fifth anniversary, activists in Los Angeles rallied outside an adult education center this week. Julia Richter of LA's Coalition to End Hunger and Homelessness says thousands of welfare recipients have lost benefits for reasons including missed appointments or computer errors. And she says many poor people in Los Angeles who are working, doing what they're supposed to do, still need help.
They earn on average $6.81 an hour. That's not enough. Our families deserve more. Our families need more.
Many activists want to ease the 5-year lifetime limit on federal cash assistance. They say the time clock should pause when working people still need cash help or welfare recipients are going to school. Welfare reform was designed to get people to work, not necessarily out of poverty. Democratic Congressman Ben Cardin thinks reducing poverty should now be a focus.
It should be one of the stated objectives of goals of welfare reform. It should be added to the statute. We should give bonuses to the states who achieve unusual and high results in getting people off of poverty. So we should offer additional incentives to our states, but make it a specific goal in welfare reform.
Others say that's not necessary, that it's an understood goal, and the number of people in poverty has been falling anyway. Over the next year, there will be calls to tweak the welfare rules by ending restrictions that bar immigrants or by streamlining food stamp applications. But the highest priority of many conservatives is promoting fatherhood and marriage. Wade Horn is an assistant secretary in the Department of Health and Human Services. He says strong families are vital to fighting poverty.
If the starting point is, here's a kid living in a single-parent household and there's a non-resident father someplace, it's best for that kid if that non-resident father is involved in positive ways in that child's life. It doesn't mean the two have to get married for that father to have a positive impact on that child, but it does, you know, the research is pretty clear that if that father is positively involved in the child's life, is paying child support, the kid's better off for it.
Encouraging dads to be more involved has broad support in Congress, but states want fewer directives from Washington, not more. and the general sense of lawmakers is not to mess too much with what most see as a success. That's largely in line with public opinion. An NPR Kaiser Kennedy School poll conducted early this year found the vast majority of Americans who know about welfare reform think it's working well. Most of them think that because it's making recipients go to work. Americans also strongly support tax credits, job training, and subsidized child care for the working poor.
Hey, baby, what's the matter? You're sick? Do you need some Tylenol?
No.
Do you want some Chewy Pinks?
In a dark apartment in Man, West Virginia, Angie Graham cuddles her daughter, Rosie. The blonde 3-year-old is running a fever, and her mother is running out of time on welfare. When her husband gets out of jail and Rosie begins the Head Start preschool program this fall, Graham has to get a job. She says she's looking forward to it.
I'm going on 26 years old, and I've worked 3 places in my entire life.
No job lasted long. She was fired from Wendy's when snow made her miss a shift. 2 weeks at a barbecue restaurant ended because Graham said the only available babysitter was undesirable. And just before moving from North Carolina to West Virginia, she took a job at a pizza place.
And I worked there for 3 days. It was right before we were getting ready to leave. We were down to absolutely nothing in the house. You know, I had to do something to feed my kids, so I went in there and I told them, I said, look, you let me work for tips, you know, and whatever food I can take home to my kid at the end of the day, and I'll work until I get ready to leave for West Virginia. I said, okay. They didn't even put me on the payroll.
That kind of setup is not what officials or welfare recipients themselves likely have in mind as a good job. 5 years ago, the debates were about whether to make people like Angie go to work. Now a key question is how to make work work better. Emily Harris, NPR News, Washington.